like to invite you this evening over back over to the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 this evening. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 reads this way. It says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we do thank you for each one that's turned aside from the cares of this life to honor you and to seek you. And so, Lord, we pray for the blessing again, Lord, of your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you and to empower us, Lord, with your wisdom, your understanding, that we might truly be your people that would honor and glorify you. So guide us tonight, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and minds and give us better understanding of the salvation that you've given to us and your power. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe the world might look at that and say, why would God hide all these things, this wisdom and this knowledge, from his own people? Why would God do that? Well, what they don't understand is that idea of faith and trust in the Lord and what he has said, that we would seek him out, right? And so likewise also, when God says something to us, we look to him for understanding and wisdom and ask him to guide us in these things. And the world doesn't understand what God is doing with his people. But my question would be, maybe to the world, is, would we complain if somebody hid $1 million of gold in your backyard? Amen? Or would you say to them, where do I start digging, right? Where do I start digging? And so God has given to us a great wealth, a great measure of faith that he's given to us to trust him in all of these things and to receive these things. And so the child of God simply says, you know, I trust the Lord. And God, and by the way, the Lord moves us by faith, doesn't he? But from one experience to the next experience, and he substantiates that faith by rewarding us. It's not the world says, oh, you've got a blind faith. We don't have a blind faith. We have a substantiated faith. We see the hand of God working, especially as we seek him, we find him working. And don't we also find this? God's mercy, even when we don't deserve it. God is gracious. God's very good to us, even when we don't deserve it. And so we thank the Lord for that. Now, as you know, I am a human being, right? And I try to communicate the word of God. And sometimes I don't communicate it correctly, or maybe with the right understanding, or maybe sometimes I allude to things. I don't do this very, very often as much as I used to, and just take it for granted that you know what I'm talking about, right? Because I've looked at it, I've studied it, and so that can be an error on my part. But I'm going to try not to do that tonight, all right? I want to make sure, and I'm going to really refer to something here towards the end of the message that I think is important concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he paid and the value that God places on that sacrifice that he paid for your life and mine. But I just want to look at a couple of things tonight concerning this treasure that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ that really is hidden. And the reason, again, why it's hidden is because it's to the believer, it's to prove us. Do we trust the Lord? Do we have a faith in the Lord to seek out these things that he's told us that he has for us, and also to be a witness to the world? So three thoughts, and that is a new revelation. And we're going to back up to chapter 1 and verse 24. And then presented perfect in Christ Jesus, and then all riches of the full assurance of understanding. So back up with me, if you would, to chapter 1, verse 24. And let's look at this new revelation that God gives to you and me as believers. Notice what it says in verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So he's saying, you know, I go through difficulties, I go through trials, and I go through testings, but why? Why do I do that? For the glory of God through the local New Testament church. And by the way, listen, you know, one of the things that are critically important for us to understand is just because things happen in our life that we don't like, it doesn't doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing something wrong. The reason why God allows this into our lives is to help us to see what are we going to look to, right? Are we going to look to the problem, or are we going to see Christ in this problem? We're going to see God in this problem that has allowed this to come into my life. We can look at things and we can say, yes, we can see how the Lord has worked things out. I'll give you a little case in point. I really wasn't all that upset when I hit a deer about 3 Sundays ago. I really wasn't. I was only going about maybe 25, 30 miles an hour. And the crazy thing was that we like to pray on the way to church as a family. My wife and I were the only ones in the car at that time. And so I saw it. She didn't. She felt it. And I felt like, man, I took a big hit. I was going into the sun and coming up this hill. I wasn't even a mile away from my house, I don't think. And anyway, 2 deers jumped out. I saw the first one. The next one just hit me, you know, came out of the woods right there. And anyway, jolted the car. She said it felt like you ran over a 2x4 or something. So I got out of the car just to make sure that there was no rubber. The tire wasn't rubbing on a fender or something like that, and it all looked all fine. And I was really concerned about, you know, making it to church and everything. And so we went on to church. And to make a long story short, I said, Lord, you know, I don't always do this, okay? So I don't want you to think that I've got this any better than you do, other than we can. Lord, what is this in my life? I could have let that really upset my day. I could have really done that. But you know what? I'm on the way to the Lord's house. I'm on the way to be with God's people that love the Lord, that want to hear the word of God. So that was really not that significant. That was not really, that's not necessarily all the time the case. But for whatever reason, I give the Lord the credit and the glory that he settled. I was good with it. I was all right with it. Of course, when I got out there and looked at it, I thought, well, what could that be? A couple $100? Right. Anyway, good thing for insurance. And I wonder why the Lord has allowed this in our life. Well, our van has about 270,000 miles. And I don't know if you remember a trip we took when we first got here to Gatlinburg and our transmission went out in the mountains over there. And I thought, you know, I was kind of concerned about this this trip with the mileage. But you know how the Lord works all things out? I think it was to test me to see where my joy was at. Is it going to be in the circumstances of life or on the Lord? And I give the Lord the credit for keeping my heart and mind focused on him. And then he gave us this monster of a vehicle here that I feel like I almost fall out of it every time because I forget there's a step to take, right? There's a running board on there. You're supposed to put that. And I'm so used to that van, I just step out and I'm about ready to fall on the ground. But anyway, four-wheel drive the whole 9 yards, and I want to give it back to him because the guy walked me around with a little piece of plastic. He said, now, everything in this circle we figure is wear and tear. Everything in this circle is on you. So I thought, I don't want anything on me. Take your vehicle back. But any one thing and another, you know, they're giving me the delay thing. We're waiting on a part. And I thought, oh, no, I remember Brother Warren's story here. And anyway, but when I look back at it all, I say, you know, isn't God good? Amen? Isn't God good? My wife says, he's so good, maybe you ought to keep it till Tuesday. I hear there's snow coming. Anyway, that's another story. But so we don't always understand everything. At that particular time, you know, that makes sense to me. You know, okay, I see how the Lord was working in that situation. But it would have been fine even, because God still holds us in his hands, even if things like that don't work out. I wasn't planning on that, but God again goes before us. And do you know why he does that? Because of the love of his son for you and me. You know, isn't God good to all of us? Can't you look back in your life and you see different things like that where God just works these things out and you say, you know, only God. In fact, he was ahead of me and never would have planned on that, never would have dreamed about renting a vehicle to go out there coming back. I did think about it, but I wasn't really going to do that. And the Lord, at that particular case and point, seemed to work that out. So the Lord really has his love for us. And Paul was saying we might encounter, in fact, we will encounter afflictions and difficulties. And sometimes You know, they may not be resolved in our hearts and minds until we see the Lord face to face. There might be things that the Lord allows in our life that will not be resolved in our hearts and minds until we see the Lord, and then everything will make sense. Trust the Lord in that. Trust the Lord. Have faith in the Lord in spite of the trial, in spite of the difficulty that you might be facing, not really fully understanding why God has done or is doing certain things in our lives. Trust Him anyway by His grace. Verse 25 here, whereof He says, I'm made a minister. He says, I've got these afflictions in my flesh, but I'm concerned about the church. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Isn't that good? God says, I am in the midst of being used for the glory of God for your benefit. You know, all preachers have that blessing, but I want you to know this. Every part of the body of Christ has that very same blessing. Do you know you encourage the body of Christ when you sing the praises of God, even when the sun is not shining, even when there's not good weather? I love to hear people, God's people, talk about the Lord. I'm encouraged. If God does something in your life, please let me know. It blesses me. I enjoy hearing God's mercy and grace in your own life. Brother Wright had talked to me last Sunday and said, listen, we've been praying for his brother Tip. And he said, you know, my brother's asking me some questions about the Bible. Can we do a three-way call? I said, absolutely. You just let me know. You know, whatever we need to do, we will want to talk to him. So anyway, long story short, he ended up talking to his brother. And it was some questions about some things about the Lord that was going on. I don't remember exactly the situation, but the whole thing was he was wanting God's direction and what God says was right, which is a good start, isn't it? Amen? All the kind of craziness that's going on in the world and people that don't know the Lord saying, well, what does God have to say about that? That's a good thing. That's a good place to be. And so it wasn't about salvation, but pray for his brother, and pray for all of those that are on the Born of Four prayer list, because it's God that opens up the heart. And so these stories ought to, you've acknowledged it already, amen, praise the Lord. You know, all these things comfort our hearts, any kind of headway that we can make into the lives of those who don't know Christ with the gospel of Christ. And that's what he's talking about, and encouraging God's people as well. Look at verse 26. He says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to who? To his saints. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. And I hope to give you some understanding and some insight of what you already really know about, but just a different angle from the Word of God in dealing with that. He says, to whom God would make known, listen to this, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, I want you to know this. So listen, this was promised to the Gentiles and prophesied to the Jewish people. Amen. So they didn't even know this. They didn't know this. The Jewish people, of course, today they're blinded. God's going to open up their eyes and they're going to see the truth. And we know that. They're going to mourn for him for whom they pierced as their own son. They're gonna realize that they're the ones guilty of putting the Lord on the cross. And we've got to know that. We've got to know that, or we'll never see our need for eternal life. It is because of our sin that Jesus came and died on the cross. But I want you to know this. God did not create you and me for redemption. He didn't. Now he knew we needed that redemption, so he was willing to pay the price. But he created us to fellowship with us and to glorify him. Of course, the fall took place, and because God's not done with us, he sent his son that we might have eternal life. So that's a good thing. All right, verse 28. In whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present, listen to this, every man how? Perfect, mature in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Who's working? Let that stick out, amen? Praise God. You don't have to carry the load. God's going to take that. Don't listen, don't touch it. All you're going to do is mess it up. How do I know that? That's all I've ever done. Anytime I tried to help the Lord, I've messed it up. And he does not share his glory with anybody, but he will give us his glory. Isn't that good? Okay, we're gonna finish up with this here. And notice all these riches. And I want to take a few moments here to look at these riches of full assurance of understanding. Look at verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, listen to this, being knit together in love, and unto all riches to the full assurance and understanding. Does God want you to have a full assurance and understanding? So listen, when you got saved, did you get saved? Can anybody take that away from you?
No.
All right. So that's really the beginning, and you're sure of that, right? And if not, now I will tell you this, okay? When I first got saved, I dealt with that, you know? You probably did too, to some degree or another. Now, you know, the devil would come up. Now, if you were a Christian, you know, if you're really one of God's children, you wouldn't be doing that or thinking that or whatever it was. And I'm like, you're right. I'm dealing, but wait a minute. My redemption is not based on what I do and what I don't do. It's based on the blood of Christ. Now, wait a minute. That's not license to sin. Let's not go there, because God says, oh, because we've been saved, because we've been given the grace of God, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Remember in the book of Romans chapter 5 at the end, in the beginning of chapter 6, he says, God forbid, how shall we continue there? You know, how shall we continue? Because we dishonor God in doing that. All right, what I want you to see here tonight, as well as these truths that God has given to us, is this promise. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 34. Jeremiah 31, 34. And I want to just remind you of what you already know, really, but this is important. Now, this is prophesying to the believer what God has given to the New Testament saints. Now, let me remind you about the New Testament saints. The first century believers, during the time of the Lord's ministry, we're all Jewish believers. Luke was the proselyte, right? But we have, really, to the Jew first, as was promised, and then to the Gentile, and then to the world. So look at verse 34. This is the promise that he's taught. In fact, look at verse 33. Let's put this in context. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, that happened at the day of Pentecost. See, because that's the first time that the whole church was indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Wasn't that not the first time that the Spirit moved on people in the Old Testament, but we were not indwelt like we are on this Testament, in the New Testament? So, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Listen, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, isn't that good? Now, listen, this is not talking about God having amnesia, all right, that he doesn't remember their sins anymore. But what he's saying is, and we're going to look at this, we're going to put this in context here, that because of the sacrifice of Christ, that blots it out, that covers it, that eclipses. You've heard this before. We are justified just as if I'd never sinned. That's the way God sees it. Not that we haven't sinned, not that we didn't need the redemption, but when the blood of Christ covers us, God doesn't see it, and he remembers it no more. He doesn't bring it to our attention. Now, you'll have to get along with the Lord on this. Listen, I don't know that because what he sees, what that Christ has done for us, it honors him to say, "That's I don't see it. It's covered." What does that mean? It's covered. And I don't remember it. I'm not going to bring it up to you. But listen, when you say, and I'm not going to equate God to us, but when you say, you know, I don't remember that. What does that mean? It means you don't remember, right? I came in here for something, but what did I come in here for, right? Anyway, go over to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And I'm not saying God has amnesia by any means, But I am saying that because of the righteousness of God, Hebrews chapter 10, that God blots that out. He wipes that out, and he will never confront you and me with it ever again because of what he sees in his Son. Man, believers, Christians of all people ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth because of God's work. And because of his promises that we know, because of salvation, we know that everything in the Word of God is true. And everything that God has promised, he's given to us, but all of the future promises are true as well. And we'll see those when we stand before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to, we want to start off in verse 14. And this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And follow this very carefully. Listen what it says. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Did you get that? This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he says, for by one offering, when he died on the cross, he perfected for how long? Them that are sanctified. You and I are perfected forever before the Lord. You can never, that's why we believe in the eternal security. I didn't say that, God did. Notice this here. You're gonna see he's really bringing out what was said in the book of Jeremiah, whereof the Holy Ghost also, verse 15, is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. This is coming from the book of Jeremiah. And God is bringing this to understanding to the New Testament saint. Listen to this. And their sins and iniquities, plural, will I remember no more. Amen. Isn't that good? Now where remission of those is, there is no more offering for sin. So it's done away with. It's done. And so God, how does, so let me just show you here. Back with me in the book of Psalms, Psalms 103, chapter 103, it's a division, but anyway, Psalms 103, and look at verse 12. And I want you to, I think God would have us to just meditate on this, all right? Psalm 103, and I just want to look at one verse. In fact, let's, I want to back up in verse 8 here. This is good. Because we want to see who's at hand at this. The Lord is merciful. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Listen to this. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord for that. Listen to this. Listen. For as the heaven is high above the earth, listen, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That's great. And here's what I want you to see. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When you remove something, is it subtracted? If you remove something from something, is it not gone? Okay, now, how far? Now, listen. These are two pictures, right? And I'm going to remove this one from this one. They're removed. Wait a minute. Now it's removed. It's still removed, isn't it? But how far? How far? Okay. Help me out here. North? South? East? Okay, listen to what he says. As far as the east is from the west. All right, now follow this. Ready? If I walk east, when will I be going west? How far do I have to walk east to start walking west? Let's do it even better. Somebody fly me in a supersonic airplane. How long do I have to fly east before I start going west? You'll never do it. You'll always be heading east. How far has God removed our sins from his sight because of the blood of God? It's gone. Now, again, I am not saying God has amnesia by any stretch of the imagination. But I sense like when I pray to the Lord and I bring things that He's already forgiven me for, man, they're a long ways gone. They're a long ways gone. And God being God, His thoughts are higher than mine. Why would He tell us that they're so far gone? None of our sins are going to be brought up before us. We're going to have the mind of Christ. Listen, what a day. And what a God. What a Savior. And what a salvation that you and me have been given. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? God wants us to see that because that love, oh God, can't we say with David, who am I that you have forgiven me like that? Is that love or what? And God says, I want you so full of that love. Isn't that good? That you will have that love to give. We can never have that love in ourselves. But God has given to us that love to fill us by the love. Not my love I give unto you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Not the love of the world. Not the joy of the world. Not the peace of the world. Because the truth is the world has none of that. Not true love. Not when you say love is love and you're okay with destroying the lives of little children. Don't tell me, please, don't tell me that is an abomination in the sight of God. And may it be so repulsive to us to say, you know, there is no way that you can tell me that they're trying to say pedophilia is the way of an older person showing love to a little kid. No. That is a perversion. That is evil, wickedness, and that is an abomination. An abomination. That person's life is destroyed, and don't touch the children. Amen? And yet we have the audacity. Listen. Women, I don't understand, grandmas and mothers bringing their little kids, you've seen it, to these men that are dressed up like women in story hour? 5-year-olds? Please, listen. And so God is saying, not that love. That's not love. That's evil. That's destructive and that's wickedness. And you know what? Listen, God has called you and me to be the light of the world. Those people are lost, they're undone, they're in darkness, but may we never console or condole any of that mess. May we stand again. Why? Because of the love that God has given to us. It may cost us. It may, and don't be surprised if it does. But let me ask us this question. What was the price that was paid for our redemption? And is He not worthy of it? And we're not trying, listen, we're not trying to berate them. We're trying to allow them to see that the light needs to stand so that they can see their darkness. No, the world's in darkness, but that they might have an opportunity to repent and turn towards God for their own salvation. Because this is true, God's not willing that any should perish. God's not wanting anybody to perish. But if the light has lost its light, if the salt has lost its savor, we don't have anything. But when we consider, listen, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen? Wow. May we allow Him, Lord, draw me nearer to You. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation this evening? Just a word tonight to encourage us in the great love of God that He has given to us, and the great forgiveness and mercy that He has granted to every one of His children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne tonight. We do thank You for the redemption and Lord, Your great gift that You've given to us of eternal life and all of the promises that are already ours, Lord. We just need to receive them by faith. We ask You to give us wisdom and understanding that we might do so to Your honor and glory, our blessing, and that we might truly be the witnesses You've called us to be. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.